there, ladies and gentlemen, listeners out there on the internet or social media. This is The Geek Show, and you're listening to Keyframe on The Geek Show. So I'm Tucky, and today I'm joined by Rob and Mark.
Hello.
Hello.
And we're not going to tell you which one of us is which.
I thought you said Rob and Mark.
Yeah.
I thought I was getting robbed.
I thought I was getting marked.
Oh.
Damn it. Now they know who we are, Mark. I was trying to keep them guessing.
I'm pretty sure if they've heard this before, they know who we are.
No, they don't. I'm sure I could sound like you with a bit of voice coaching.
Anybody can with a bit of voice coaching.
Oh, anyway, how are you guys?
I'm good. I am. My mind, body, and wallet are recovering from MCM last week. But apart from that, overall fine.
Isn't that just your policy, though, Mark? You work your ass off the entire year only to blow it all at conventions.
Yeah, they had girls and pans and stuff this time. I couldn't say no. Apart from me, how is everyone else doing?
Just busy work off, milliersing into Christmas.
I'm good. I've started a new job.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I'm getting paid. It's great.
Now you can buy all the anime you want.
Who needs to buy it? They send it to us.
Rob's got money now, so we're going to see him at the next day. SunnyCon, just like sneakily buying one of those waifu pillows.
No. I'm going to be like the anime pimp. I'll just be walking around throwing pound coins everywhere.
I thought you were going to see him throwing near waifu pillows everywhere.
Oh, don't.
Would that be considered domestic abuse?
I don't know. Don't, because there will be a convention somewhere where they will do something similar to like waifu Wi-Fi. So they'll actually try and do like an anthropomorphized version of the Wi-Fi.
Oh, that'll be in the future. Well, they've already got the game console ones, haven't they?
Coming soon to MCM, waifu Wi-Fi.
My get-rich-quick scheme was going to be anthropomorphized furniture.
Oh, God. Tucky, he's turning into the anime Del Boy. Which means it's either me or you who's... No, that means I'm Uncle Albert and you're Rodney.
Yes! I'll get the better deal out of it.
I know. I have to sit here and tell stories about the great anime war.
And how many ships have been sunk on.
How many Kantai collection ships got sunk?
Oh, dear.
We shouldn't make jokes, but it works. Anyway, we've got stuff to talk about. We did mention the war, even though we promised not to mention the war, which leads us into what you've got.
Yeah, I've delved back into Gundam Hell yet again, and because it was free on YouTube, I finally got to watch Gundam Thunderbolt December Sky, which is fitting. Because it is December, almost.
No, it isn't. I was going to say it's not December yet.
Well, we're nearly in December. It's close enough. It's closer to December than it is to Christmas.
True.
This is the Gundam Thunderbolt film that was a few Gundam Thunderbolt OVAs all stuck together into one glorious whole with more jazz.
Sorry, sticking things in holes and covered in jazz.
Oh, dear. Oh. I didn't even think of it that way. Oh. I've been out of the game. I need to rewatch Monster Musume. Oh. So, yeah, this is yet another installment in the Gundam franchise, which will be there when we die and continue going even after we're all dead.
No,
because Gundam is eternal.
No, that's where you're wrong. They will be real by the time we die, because I know that the Japanese government and the Japanese military have restarted their Gundam project.
Oh, yes. Actually, I was going to mention that, because this ties us back into another thing. I saw tanks. I saw girls. I saw Gundam. We are finally getting the crossover that we dreamed of a few weeks ago.
Oh! Somebody was listening. But you didn't find the tank pillow.
I can't find it anywhere. But that's for you to get next year when you're dishing them out.
I might just make one.
I found tank slippers, which I did not buy.
Why? They're tank slippers.
that were like 50 quid, and I wasn't prepared to pay 50 quid on tank slippers. Anyways, getting away from Girls and Panzer, we're going back into Gundam.
Yes.
So, Gundam Thunderbolt takes place during the 1 year war 0079, which is the same war the original Mobile Suit Gundam took place in.
Okay.
So, this is, once again, the Earth Federation forces and the Principality of Zeon having a little skirmish in the Thunderbolt sector, which is a little colony zone, kind of somewhere on the other side of space compared to where the Amaru and Shaw battles were taking place. And this follows not only the Earth Federation forces, it kind of blurs the lines between good and bad by making the Zeon forces a little bit more sympathetic than the Earth Federation, which is it's always a nice thing to see.
I was going to say.
So, yeah, we have a small group of characters which are just battling each other in their giant mechs, as always. We have Jazz Enthusiast. I can't even pronounce his name.
Give it a try.
I can't remember if it's Lore Fleming or Io Fleming. I can't remember. It was very quick.
It'd probably be Io Fleming.
Io Fleming, yeah. He is in control of the latest Gundam prototype, which looks all cool. It's like a full armor Gundam, which looks significantly more impressive than the Mobile Suit Gundam they had in the same year, all those years ago.
Just one question.
Yeah?
When you say armored Gundam, I thought Gundams were covered in armor anyway.
This one has even more armor.
This one has even more armor.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's got layers like an onion.
This is a full armor, just not bits of armor. It's a full armor.
So you're basically saying it's a guy in an armored suit covered in armor.
Yes.
Okay. It's like those Russian dolls, isn't it?
And the Zeon have the Berserk Zaku, I believe it's called, which looks like the normal Zaku, the red Zaku, with loads of guns and extra armor and all sorts of extra stuff attached onto the back of it. It looks very impressive.
See, that's not a proper berserker. Proper berserker takes his armor off and then runs at you with the sword.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I think it was actually called the Psycho Gundam.
Okay, Psycho is fine then.
Psycho Gundam, yeah, that's what it's called. What's interesting in this one is that the pilot for the Psycho Zaku is an amputee pilot.
Okay.
And the film is shown, obviously, how he lost his legs and how he kind of sacrificed his humanity to directly insert himself into this Gundam and pilot the Gundam. And it felt very unique compared to a lot of Gundams where it's just a kind of smart kid, special child who's kind of just been put in the Gundam and it's like, yeah, you're in there because you're special. He really feels like he kind of worked for this and he lost a lot just to even be able to pilot it.
Yeah, but it comes down to that age-old thing. You might be talented, but unless you work hard at it as well, you're going to be overtaken by somebody who works their ass off.
Visually, it is beautiful. It's sunrise, and it really looks like they took the guys who worked on Tiger and Bunny to work on the character designs for this, which, in my opinion, is always a good thing, seeing more of that particular art style. Sound-wise, music, because one of the main characters is a jazz enthusiast, we do hear a lot of jazz in it, and we do have death via jazz at some point.
So, what? Death by jazz?
There is a scene where a laser shoots through one of the spaceships while extreme jazz plays, and all you can see is just be like, did they really die by jazz?
Was it just one of those improvised jazz solos that just went on and on and on and on and on and didn't stop, and eventually the pilot just wanted to kill themselves?
Yeah, kind of. It was very loud and very jazzy. I'm not a jazz enthusiast myself, so I can just say it was certainly jazz. But yeah, the music stuff, like the way they kind of did it was pretty incredible and sticks with you a lot more than some of the other music in like previous Gundam. Like, for example, we discussed Reconquista in G, which was obviously very musical as well, but it was kind of forgettable in how musical that was, apart from the kind of weird Yuri on Ice Gundam pauses.
Oh, don't forget, there was the whole arm-linking dancing thing, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, that was the ending. Oh, God.
Let's all do the can-can.
Let's do the can-can with all the good guys and the bad guys. But I suppose, on the other hand, that was a lot more lighthearted than this. This is just an hour and a bit of death, crying, people dying more, blood all over the place, Gundams fighting, and extreme jazz. Yeah, it was very fun. There's not really much more to say about it. This was the first film in, I don't know, there's a few more films to come out later on. But this is on YouTube at the moment for free, so I recommend anybody who likes Gundam, give it a shot. It's only an hour, so what's the worst can happen?
Is that on like Funimation's channel or something like that?
No, it's on their YouTube. If you just type in Mobile Suit Gundam Thunderbolt December Sky, it should pop up. I believe it is free until mid-December, so you might want to put your skates on and check it out.
Okay, cool. Okay, let's move on. And Mark, Tucky, we have been watching something together, haven't we? Well, not together, together.
Not in the sense of being like intimately next to each other.
Exactly. There was no spooning.
Don't ruin the illusion. I'm sure we've got some fangirls on here.
Oh, I didn't start that. I'm already in fan service stuff and that, and I don't want to end up in more.
Tucky on Ice.
It's not as fun as it sounds.
It's not. It's really not.
I'll take your words for it. Right. So, we've been watching something that has come to us from Studio Canal. I was a bit surprised when we got the press release for this, because I didn't know this. It's the first ever TV series from Studio Ghibli. And it's directed by Gorō Miyazaki. And it's Ronja, well, it's spelt Ronja, R-O-N-J-A, but it's actually pronounced Ronja, the Robber's Daughter. And it's actually doing something that Studio Ghibli does regularly, which is take a European work and do an anime version of it. They've done it with loads of other books. Tales from Earthsea was one of the more prominent ones, but it's something that the anime industry in general likes to do. You know, there was The Dog of Flanders and various others. This one is actually based on a book by Astrid Lindgren, who is more well known for creating P.P. Longstocking.
Ah.
Yep. She's also written The Six Bullaby Children, which is known as Children of Noisy Village in the U.S. And she's done other kids' fantasies like Mio, My Son, and The Brothers Lionheart. And as of January 2017, Astrid Lindgren was the world's 18th most translated author. So, huge popularity for her work. And so it's natural that something like this is, you know, they're going to look at adapting it.
Yeah.
But the unusual thing was that they decided, for some reason, to do it all. The backgrounds are all hand-drawn and hand-painted. But the actual character models and the animation is all CG.
As you can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell. So what did you guys think?
That's got to be the starting point, hasn't it? The clumpy CG style of the characters. It fell off the time you're watching like Ni No Kuni for a bit, but it kind of went berserk. You know how Berserk did the whole CG thing, and it was just weird.
Yeah.
And we're saying like recent animation like Ruby and whatnot, which can utilize it well, but for something that we set our bar high for, it was kind of a letdown. The parts that really stood out for me with the CG animation style, the lip syncing was off.
Yeah.
Really, really obviously off.
Yeah.
And that's you know, the anime aficionado's first gripe point is always, well, where the lip syncs were terrible. When you look into the mouths, and you can see like a row of teeth that go right down the back of the throat. The white continues down, and there's some parts where you can actually see where it's like where they're eating and that, and they open the mouth, and it's like they haven't done the work on the inside of the mouth, and it's obvious. I mean, it's a small thing, so it can't be glossed over by like the average watcher, but when you're watching it to review it for like quality and standards and that, and you say that, it's like, oh dear.
Yeah. I mean, those are the things that kind of stick out for me as well. If we put those to one side, what did you think about it in terms of the story?
Long-winded.
Yeah, I felt this was... I mean, I'm not going to lie, I got to episode 16 or 17 and I kind of stopped. But I felt it was very, 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 very dragged out.
I have to agree with you. I thought this would have been much better as a 12 or 13 episode series. There was a lot of stuff in there that didn't need to be in there. It just felt like it dragged its heels far too much in just stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happens in the last third of it, but I mean, to be honest, you could probably cut best part of episodes 5 to 15 and you'd probably still be fine, really.
Yeah.
Well, they went through like the seasons about 4 or 5 cycles.
Yeah.
Not including like a 10-year time skip in there as well. It was very long. And the thing is, the development of the characters as well seemed really slow and drawn out.
And that's what I mean. It was very stunted in that in those aspects. One of the things that bugged me was all of the characters are wearing shoes except for Ronya, who's running around the forest barefoot. I was thinking, there's something not quite right here, because you don't send a kid out to run around the forest barefoot, because there's all sorts of things...
That's another thing. He was a terrible father. Absolutely awful dad. And you can expect it, like, I mean, the guy owns a castle, but he robs for a living.
Yeah.
First thing, why? You own a castle. You're set for life in them times, I assume.
Well, he wasn't a lord, though. The thing is, the castle had been abandoned and they moved in. He wasn't actually a lord, so he wasn't getting, like, tax money from anybody or anything like that. And so he'd moved in there with his clan, and he was the son of a robber chief, and so he became the robber chief in turn.
He could have done something, though. He could have turned around, well, that's my castle, and that, you know.
Well, he did, didn't he? He said, this is my castle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't take it any further. He could have turned it into a hotel or something. I don't know.
Well, he couldn't have turned it into a hotel. I mean, think about it. The time period it's set in is like medieval times. There's not many people travelling and being tourists around that time, because everybody's farming and struggling to survive under whichever oppressive lord's rule it is that whose land they live in.
Well, they've come Dracula and set up a hotel in Hotel Transylvania. I'm sure he could have done one.
Yeah, but he's got the advantage of aeroplanes and cars and Wi-Fi. Yeah. Well, that's how it turned out in Hotel Transylvania, isn't it? But yeah, it was very long-winded. One of the characters that I liked in this was actually Mattis, who's Ronya's father. I liked his wife. I liked her as a character.
The strong, independent one. Well, the thing is, it's like one woman of 13 guys living in a castle.
Yeah. But the thing is, she was pretty no-nonsense about stuff and had a solid... You know, she was kind of the rock upon which all of the story kind of functioned. If she hadn't been in there, then this would have been complete nonsense.
Definitely.
Sorry, go ahead.
Definitely. I mean, to be honest, the female characters in general in that series, I felt, were a lot more stronger than the male ones.
Yeah.
Maybe they just had a bigger presence when they actually were on screen than the male ones, because, let's face it, there was a lot of male characters, but a lot of them were kind of just background characters. I mean, they didn't really go into many of his clan. We didn't really find much about them, apart from that all like to dance a bit.
Well, the old guy, you didn't watch it, but the old guy gets featured predominantly in the end.
Yeah, Noddle Pete. Noodle Pete or Noddle Pete. They call him Noddle Pete in the English dub, but I think they call him Noodle Pete in the Japanese dub.
That was a heartbreaking end. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But like I say, you have to wait like 15 episodes to get in before you get to like full on child abuse and domestic violence.
Are you trying to say that you were excited for that bit?
Well, no, it was the only action. That was it. You watch, it's heartwarming, yes. She's in the forest, she's getting a little bit more independent, yes, go on, yes, blah, 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 yes, yes. Oh, hang on, the little lad's been beaten up. And look, Mattis is just trying to do a wrestling move on his missus. Here we go, it's getting interesting. And then it goes back to, like, slow down to, like, the end episode.
Yeah, but again, this is the thing. We call it child abuse now, but that was just how things were during the time period.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying that this like promotes child abuse or anything. I'm not working for Feeder out like that.
Yeah,
I'm not going to work that angle. It is part of the storytelling, it's part of the time, and he was obviously using kid for like a hostage situation to try and get the ends met of what he wanted, and. That's what used to happen. It still happens in this day and age in some places.
Yeah. And the kid, Burke, I didn't mind him so much, but the relationship between him and Ronya, it just felt really forced.
That part where they turn around and it's like, you're my brother and you're my sister. It's like, hang on, you were going for Romeo and Juliet and now you're trying to be related. What's going on there?
Yeah. The other thing that I really want to see more of was more of the fantasy elements, more about the harpies, more about the great dwarves.
I agree. I mean, to be honest, from what I watched, every single scene with the harpies in was fantastic.
And the design of the harpies was brilliant.
Yeah, they were creepy as out. I mean, the makeup was a bit Orochimaru-esque from Naruto, but apart from that, you can't pick fault with them. They did exactly what they said on the tin.
Yeah, and the Grey Dwarves, I thought the design of the Grey Dwarves was really good as well.
Yeah.
That first scene where Ronya first meets the Grey Dwarves and she's sitting on the rock and they're just knocking the sticks against the rock and just chanting the same thing over and over again. That was creepy as hell.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a lot of the times that they kind of used the creatures as creepy, or they try to make them more interesting than the series was going to let them be, really. It felt like it was a bit of a waste, to be honest.
I'll be honest, having read loads and loads of fantasy novels, I kind of expected more from a story where the setup, the beginning, is a harpy lands and talks to Mattis about the child who is going to be born on this stormy night and how he can't protect the child that is going to be born on this stormy night. And I'm thinking, ooh, this sounds good. I'm in for some proper fantasy. There's going to be action. There's going to be all sorts. Maybe a dragon will turn up. That's what I'm looking forward to. Didn't get any of that.
No, you just kind of had some awkward dancing and...
No. What I got was Heidi. You know that story, Heidi, about the girl who lives with her granddad in the mountains? Is a children's classic, but is boring as hell as well, because nothing happens.
Yeah.
The disappointment, I didn't get my dragons, damn it.
Now, the thing is, that's not to say that I dislike Heidi. It's just, when you put in the first episode this thing, you raise the expectation level for a certain angle, for the story to develop in a certain way. And there were elements of that throughout the series, but they never really used it. This actually, and I hate bringing this up, sorry, Goro, but I'm going to have to bring it up. And I know you tried your hardest with Ronya the Robber's Daughter, but I'm going to have to say it. Tales from Earthsea. This felt like the work you did on Tales from Earthsea. Now, I've read Tales from Earthsea, and I know the story's a lot more complex. It's the collection of stories from Earthsea, the Earthsea Quartet, that made me a fan of Ursula Le Guin as an author. And I know that this Tales from Earthsea is a lot more complex than the movie actually made it out to be. The movie was a very kind of slow-paced, sanitized, and somewhat dull take on the Earthsea stories. And this feels like exactly the same for the Ronya story. But that doesn't mean to say it's unwatchable.
No, I mean, like I said, I didn't finish it, but I didn't hate it either. I mean, I managed to get 16 episodes in. It's just I kind of stopped and didn't feel like picking it back up again.
That's another 10 episodes you missed out on.
Yeah. When I was watching it, I didn't mind watching it. I sat there and, I'll be honest, I enjoyed parts of it as well. I enjoyed the antics of the robbers in particular. I thought they were a hoot and a half.
Very slapstick as well, very slapstick comedy.
And I think that's one of the saving graces of this series is the fact that it was doing comedy actually quite well.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird when you think this is supposed to be kind of a drama. And the weird dance, I actually tried figuring out why the weird dance. I didn't understand the weird dances.
I mean, the weird dance just got to me was the fact that they just repeated it over and over again. I mean, practically every single episode had that weird dance shoved into it, and it was just like...
It was very Monty Python, Knights of the Round Table-ish.
Yeah.
you know, with the knights kicking all the stuff off the table and just that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, came along like Monty Python, very English. The voice cast was very English. Londoners. I think there was a Scouse in there somewhere, Scottish, a little bit Yorkshire.
Well, I can tell you who the English voice cast were. Teresa Gallagher played Ronya, and Rufus Hound played Mattis.
You had, Rufus Hound. Yeah. Rufus, bloody Hound, my God.
Exactly. Do you know who played Noddle Pete?
Adrian Edmondson, wasn't it?
Yep, it was Ed Edmondson.
Hitler played. So I only remember his character from Bottom, or the young ones. In this one, he's not playing the not-so-young one, I assume.
Yeah. Barker, Berkstad, was played by Bob Goldie.
Ah.
Yeah? And guess who the narrator was?
It's her out of X-Files, isn't it?
Gillian Anderson, yeah.
Scully.
Yeah.
Get out.
So the thing is, there was...
X-Files money not paying you now, is it?
Thing is, there was some talent there. I mean, I've mentioned that it reminded me of Heidi, the girl living with the granddad in the mountains, that sort of thing. And Heidi is very much similar in kind of, oh, the girl is kind of learning about the natural world, that sort of thing. But there was an anime series that it also reminded me of. Only if I had to choose between the two, I would choose this other anime series instead of Ronya the Robber's Daughter. And weirdly enough, they're both kids' anime in their approach. Although
it's not the new Berserk series, is it?
No. One of them is a lot more violent and has a lot more blood than Ronya the Robber's Daughter. It's the Beast player Eren. Now, in that, you see Eren grow from a young girl. There's her and her mum, and they live in this tribe, but then her mum is accused of doing something wrong and is then sacrificed to the animals the tribe takes care of, these crocodile-type things. And Eren, basically, she's trying to save her mum, but ends up getting cast out of the tribe by accident and ends up living with a guy who teaches her all about the natural world. And so she's learning about bees and about beekeeping and stuff like that, and ends up looking after these magnificent creatures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like wolves with wings.
Mm.
Yeah, and so, yeah, the Beast player, Eren, the way it's approached is very much the same style as Ronya the Robber's Daughter, with the narrator and everything like that. And it's very, very approachable as a kid's anime.
Mm-hmm.
But so, of the two, I'd say Eren was better.
So would you say the biggest issue with Ronya is the high expectations of it being a Ghibli film, a Ghibli series?
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I think with it being a Ghibli series, on the DVDs, there are some extras, and the extras are actually quite interesting. There are five kind of making of, they're only 5 minutes long, or around 5 minutes, but there are five making of segments. There's also a press conference with Gorō Miyazaki, and a 10-minute interview with Gorō Miyazaki. And the press conference and the interview are actually quite eye-opening, because Ronya the Robber's Daughter is kind of an experiment that they've conducted, which is one of the reasons why the CG might be clunky and everything like that. And once you understand that aspect of it, it becomes a lot more palatable, which is one of the reasons why the CG doesn't annoy me as much now, because I understand why they decide to use CG instead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, with the kind of contracting of the anime industry in Japan, because it's happening, we see it.
Yeah.
It is contracting. And because of that contraction, they have to find superior ways of animating things that other people haven't done before. And CG is one of those avenues. And so Ghibli have never really done proper testing of CG when it comes to long-term projects.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it with movies, and they've done it really well. Cel-shaded CG is in several Ghibli movies. Most people probably haven't noticed. But they haven't done it with a long-term project like a TV series or something like that. So this is basically a test for them.
I mean, my issue, I mean, at first, it did take us a while to get into the CG, but mainly because I was expecting it to be like hand-drawn all the way through, like the films. I think my issue was the pattern. I think that was what really dragged it down for me, because there is other series out there. There's Ruby, there's Kimono Friends, which don't have the best CG animation, but they are still entertaining to watch. They are still charming us out.
I actually agree with you on that. I think the padding is what is the other aspect that brings it down. See, and the acting, the dialogue.
A 12-episode series, or even if it was a film,
yeah.
I think there wouldn't be so many scenes where they're kind of staring awkwardly at each other, or the kind of like looping scenes, or there's other stuff. I think it would have been a lot more palatable.
Yeah, there's times where the dialogue, where the talk, and the pauses in between the like conversation seem a bit too long.
Yeah. I
think they're doing it just to drag it out, and it interrupts a natural flow.
See, the acting I was fine with. I thought everybody, all of the voice actors, were perfectly good as they were. The problem was the dialogue, and I think one of the problems that, one of the ultimate effects of the dialogue was those pauses you're talking about, Tucky. The dialogue was stilted because they were trying to go for this kind of old English style delivery with the words. Yeah.
Well, there's that part where, I mean, throughout the whole thing, Ronja never refers to Mattis as father.
Yeah.
It's always, Mattis. Oh, well, Mattis finds out about this. And you think, that's your da.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It's like a reverse honorifics kind of thing.
Yeah. This is one of the things that kind of bugged me about it. I thought that whoever did the script, especially the English version of the script, maybe should have tried reading some medieval literature to get a feel for how the kind of cadence of the English language, and then apply that to writing the screenplay.
Yeah, they should have, but it's too late now.
Yeah, but I will say one thing. I kind of treat this in the same way that I treat Makoto Shinkai's Children Who Chase Lost Voices, or Journey to Agatha, as it's known in English. I kind of treat this in the same way as that. See, for me, that movie is very much Makoto Shinkai trying to experiment and trying to push himself in a new direction. And this, Ronja the Robber's Daughter, feels like that, but for Studio Ghibli. They're trying to push themselves in a new direction, and it's a direction they've never gone in before. Okay, in terms of the story and stuff, it's familiar territory, but in terms of what it is, it's a TV series, and it's CG.
Yeah.
Those are two things that they've never really embraced fully before.
It could have ended up a lot worse.
Yeah, it could have ended up a lot worse. I'll be honest, as a fan of anime and animation in general, I'd go out and buy this just because I've got Journey to Agatha on my shelf, and I bought it not because I'm a big fan of the movie, but because, in my mind, it's a piece of anime history.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I'd buy Ronja the Robber's Daughter for exactly the same reason. For me, it's a piece of anime history. It's Studio Ghibli pushing themselves in a different direction. And I'll be honest, I'm kind of excited to see where it ends up, this new direction that they're going in.
Well, hopefully they can learn from the mistakes from this and push onwards and upwards.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. That's exactly what I'm hoping.
There's just one thing that bugged me about the whole thing, things aforementioned. But what was the deal with Noodle Pete's dice?
Yeah.
The guy's not a gambler. He doesn't go out anywhere. Is he like a full-on urban take on all comers anywhere, anytime D&D player or something?
No, I think...
wasn't he playing Chicharron or whatever it's called? That game where you throw the dice in the ball and they try to get him pairs.
Or Yahtzee.
It might have been that. For me, it seemed more like he was just holding the dice all the time because... Did you ever watch that Big Bang Theory episode where Sheldon ends up with a mustache because the dice have decided that he can't shave?
Yeah.
I don't watch Big Bang Theory.
Mark knows what I'm on about. To me, the whole thing with Noodle Pete and the dice felt more like that. He was just using the dice.
Like a coin flip.
Like a coin flip, but he's got more options because he's got the dice. So he's like, how thirsty am I? 7. I'll take a good drink then.
That's possible. It's very possible.
I think that's the way some politicians go through life, just rolling dice and say, should I call another general election? Ooh, seems I should.
I thought, are you talking about Theresa May's magic eight ball? See, I always thought Theresa May's magic eight ball was William Hague's head.
I'm just imagining William Hague with like no skull, but it's just like brain fluid at the top and just some floats up to the top if you shake it violently enough.
That sounds like a good description of William Hague. Anyway, enough of the political jokes. Let's move on because in the last couple of weeks, something has been announced. It is the 26 animated feature films that are in the contention to become nominated for an Oscar. Now, there will only probably be, 4 or 5 of these? nominated for an Oscar, but we've had a look at, I mean, some of these we already know, some of them we've seen trailers of, but the ones that we haven't seen, we'll familiarise ourselves with them now. So, on the list, very quickly, we'll just go through the list first. The 26 animated feature films are The Big Bad Fox and Other Tales, Bird Boy, The Forgotten Children, which is also known as Psychonauts, The Forgotten Children, but they can't use the name Psychonauts in English because Psychonauts is obviously a video game. The Boss Baby, The Breadwinner, Captain Underpants, The First Epic Movie, Cars 3, Cinderella the Cat, Coco, Despicable Me 3, The Emoji Movie, Nil, Ethel and Ernest, Ferdinand, The Girl Without Hands, In This Corner of the World, Hooray, The Lego Batman Movie, The Lego Ninja Go Movie, Loving Vincent, Mary and the Witch's Flower, which sounds dodgy as hell no matter how many times I've said it, Moomins and the Winter Wonderland, My Entire High School Sinking into the Sea, Napping Princess, A Silent Voice, Hooray Again, Smurfs, The Lost Village, The Star, Sword Art Online, The Movie, Ordinal Scale, and Window Horses, The Poetic Persian Epiphany of Rosie Ming.
Oh, so are we all in agreement that The Emoji Movie deserves to win?
See, I thought Tucky would have picked up on my little joke, Despicable Me 3, The Emoji Movie, nil.
I'm not going to give The Emoji Movie any time or money.
Well, let's cut some of these off the list first, okay? These are the ones that from this list, I've got my selections of ones that should not even be in the running.
You're not going to go and just pick the ones that should be in the running.
The way they do it is they pick the top five choices.
Yeah.
So why don't we just pick our top five choices?
Okay, your top five choices then, Mark.
Oh. I was on the spot.
That's why I was going to cut some of them out first. The ones that I would cut out. The Boss Baby, Captain Underpants, Cars 3, The Emoji Movie, obviously Ferdinand, because it's basically a bull played by John Cena, The Lego Batman Movie, the Lego Ninja Go Movie. Yeah, they might be great in terms of animation, but it's Lego. We've seen it before. The Smurfs, The Lost Village, The Star, and unfortunately, Sword Art Online, The Movie.
I genuinely can't believe Sword Art Online got in, yet not Princess. Night is Short didn't.
Yeah, I know.
It's Oscars, remember?
Yeah, it is the Oscars. So, those are the ones that I would cut out.
I think in that list you've named probably the five that's going to get in.
Probably. But which five would you pick from this list, based on the trailers that we've seen and everything like that?
Well, I've only seen three of them. That's still in there, which kind of says a lot about me. But personally, I think In This Corner of the World and Silent Voice should be in.
Yes, I agree.
Love and Vincent.
Absolutely. That looks amazing. I'll be honest, I think Loving Vincent, out of all of them, I think that one is my front runner for the Oscar.
I think that is probably got the most chance of winning. Ethel and Ernest look quite decent from what it was, just because it was splendidly British. And maybe it was just because I could... I felt more attached to the characters than I did in some of the others.
Yeah.
How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. I really enjoyed My Entire High School Sinking into the Sea. I really enjoyed the trailer and I enjoyed what they were trying to do with that.
Okay. So those are your five picks.
Yeah.
What about you, Tucky?
I'd say it makes it sound like a weeb if I go for all the anime ones. But In This Corner of the World, Loving Vincent, Not Being Princess, I'd stick Sword Art in there just to stir it up. I mean, it's not going to win. It doesn't deserve to win.
Because it's not a very good movie.
Well, as soon as nipples.
That doesn't make it a good movie.
They push the boundaries. The thing is, from all the Sword Art ones, and this is the thing, I'm finding myself growing more and more attached to it, even though it's weeb fodder. And I don't know why, and it scares the crap out of us.
It's because you played the games so much recently. That's what it is.
I got the platinum in it, so yeah. I'm all right with that. But they're bringing out a new Gun Gale online one as well.
You need to step away from the edge, Tucky. Step away from the edge. It's a safe zone here. We're all friends, Tucky.
Well,
we're all friends.
I've just recently been playing JoJo's Eyes of Heaven.
Eyes of Heaven?
It mashes all the JoJo's together. The plot and the game is absolutely fantastic.
That's a freaky JoJo. Anyway, continue with the JoJo thing.
The only thing that's stopping us is the you need to get a trophy for network player and nobody's online playing it. I'm the only one playing JoJo online in the world.
You need more people playing JoJo.
Eyes of Heaven.
Okay, so... But
back onto the Oscar nominations.
Yeah, so Sword Art Online is your fourth one, yeah?
Yeah, that's it. I'd look for Ethel in Ernest as well. Because, the guy who wrote it, it's about his mum and dad. It is quintessentially like mid-50s, 60s British.
Yeah.
It's the rose-tinted glory of a glorious past when we were still like kind of an empire, but not an empire, but yeah. People overlooked the genocide.
Yeah. I'll admit, I absolutely adore Ethel and Ernest. I've seen it, and it is wonderful. Because it came out last year, didn't it?
Yep. But you've got to be honest, and you've got to say that the ones getting in are probably going to be Boss Baby. I'd say Loving Vincent would get in there. Probably Despicable Me.
I'm giving my probably five, yeah.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah. I bet.
I reckon Coco. Well. Yeah, I reckon Coco, Cars 3, because you got to have Cars 3 in there. I reckon Coco and Cars 3, The Boss Baby. I don't know about The Star. I don't know anything about it, but I reckon the Lego Batman movie, and they'll probably pick one foreign movie. And if they pick one foreign movie, chances are it will be something like, it'll be sort of one left field film. And chances are it will be something like My Entire High School Singing Into the Sea, because that's been getting a lot of press. But for
you got to look at the ones where the money is, because
that's
Oscars
what I'm saying. My Entire High School Sinking Into the Sea has been getting a lot of press. So that's one of the ones that's, pardon the phrasing, pardon the pun, but that's one of the ones that's been making waves.
No.
Fantastic.
But for me, the five that I would love to see, right, I would love it if these five actually got the Oscar nominations. The Big Bad Fox and Other Tales, because that just looks like delightful nonsense. You have a fox who is effectively bad at his job of being a fox, somehow winds up raising three chicks who initially he wants to eat them, but as soon as they see him, they go, "Mommy," he's like, "I'm not your mommy, I'm not your mommy." And he ends up raising them as his own kids. Just how ridiculous does that sound? But how awesome does it sound as well? Where else? Cinderella the Cat, because I love the style. The art style, and it just looks phenomenal. The Girl Without Hands, because it's like Voices of a Distant Star, and I always thought Voices of a Distant Star is one of the most underrated animated features ever made, because Makoto Shinkai did pretty much all of it by himself, except for the voice acting. And The Girl Without Hands is kind of like that. I've forgotten the director's name, but he wrote, it's adapted from the Brothers Grimm fairy tale, but he adapted it and wrote the script himself, and he also directed it, animated it, and edited it.
Nice.
So it's primarily his work, and it looks amazing. I'd love to see a silent voice in there. I've got to say, between A Silent Voice and In This Corner of the World, I love both movies equally, but I think A Silent Voice has much more relevancy.
Yeah, I mean, it was very difficult because I was like, I love both of them.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think I personally enjoy In This Corner of the World slightly more than A Silent Voice, but I think A Silent Voice would get it for being a bigger name.
Yeah.
And something that's more relatable.
Yeah. This is the thing. I would love to see A Silent Voice get an Oscar nomination. Loving Vincent, I'm in total agreement. I think all of us agree Loving Vincent is a contender.
It's not contender. It's for me, it's the winner.
I put it as my winner as well. I would put Loving Vincent as my winner. But I think on the strength of what it is, I think it deserves to win. You know? And what was the other one? I'm just going through the list. How many have I had?
I think you've done more than that. Cars 3 you had.
No, I didn't do Cars 3. Cars 3 is not one of mine. Do not put words in my mouth. I will wash your mouth out with foot soap if you put words in my mouth like that. Big Bad Fox and Other Tales, Cinderella the Cat, The Girl Without Hands, A Silent Voice, and I've got one, and Loving Vincent. Yeah, those are my five.
So I think we're pretty much in agreement that Loving Vincent and A Silent Voice should be in.
Yeah, I think those two. And the thing is, A Silent Voice needs to be a contender. I think in this day and age when bullying is, especially online bullying, is such a horrible, terrible thing, I think A Silent Voice really needs more attention.
Yeah, I mean, I think Loving Vincent and A Silent Voice are both films that speak to you properly.
Yeah.
Whereas Cars 3 or Napping Princess or a lot of the stuff on here, the kind of stuff just for entertainment rather than anything else.
The way I look at it is this. If the Oscars could do anything good for a change, then let either Loving Vincent or A Silent Voice, let them both be nominated and let one of them two win.
They're not going to do it, though.
They're not going to do it, but if anybody who is part of the Oscar process is listening to this show, I beg you, put A Silent Voice, get it nominated, because even just as a nominee, the number of people, the number of kids you might help just by making this film a nominee for the Oscar is astonishing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure after the latest news out of Hollywood, it's pretty sure that like most of the film industry is not there for helping kids.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But we all know Lego Batman's probably going to sweep the board because it's got more money. I mean, looking at it, all the mainstream ones actually pale in comparison to like the more left-field options.
Yeah, I mean,
after seeing the likes of Cars 3 and Despicable Me 3 and like say Lego Batman, Lego Ninjago movie, all them, Village as well, I've took the bench to see them and I haven't kept the kids entertained or inspired them or kept them quiet.
Whereas you got
generic
CG
movies.
You got your little ones to watch Song of the Sea.
Yeah, I kept them quiet, kept them hooked. They love the story. They felt emotions. My kids rarely feel emotions. I mean, Gareth likes Boss Baby. Like he giggles a bit at Boss Baby, but that's because of the poop humor.
Yeah.
But any movie that can make my children feel, you know, it's got a special place in my heart because that hour and a half of silence is fantastic.
Yeah, I am in total agreement. I've been singing the praises of Song of the Sea and saying we need more animated movies like it. For ages, and this year of those 26, we have a good selection. I mean, one of the ones that I didn't choose, but I really like the look of, is The Breadwinner.
Yeah,
that one has got my attention, and I think that one deserves more press, much more press. And that's the sad thing: most of these ones that we've chosen don't get the press. They don't have the money, like you said, Tucky, to do proper marketing. So it falls on podcasts like us to help.
And listeners of podcasts like us.
Yeah. So if you are a listener, go check out the ones that we've chosen. See how good they are for yourselves, because they've certainly got our attention, and I'm pretty sure they'll get yours as well.
I do realise that Tucky's just sent a load of people to watch Sword Art Online, the movie.
Well, as soon as Nipple. It's an R-rated movie. It's not bad, but it depends on the audience that watch it. If you want to know why I liked it, you'd listen to me review on it.
Yeah.
Back in April.
Anyway, that's pretty much us for this week, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm amazed. We normally drag things out, but we've been... No, I can't say it, Rob. Someone take over before I say it.
We've been good.
Oh, we've kept off politics. We've kept off tangents.
I'm going to have to say it.
Go on, do it.
We've been nice and tight this week.
Covered in jazz.
Jazz hands.
I like it. We didn't have any series or anything that was even slightly pervy.
No. Oh, anyway, shall we wind this up? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Keyframe, as we've mentioned, is part of the Geek Show Podcast Network, and all of our shows are available on Apple Podcasts and Audioboom or any other podcast provider. And if you're listening through anything like that, then subscribe. It'll keep you up to date with all of the shows on our network, like Cinema Eclectica, which is all about movies, like The Geek Show itself, which is, you know, news and discussions, like Four Panel, which is, it's the best comics and manga podcast, in my opinion, in the world, bar none. That's just my opinion. You don't need to take my word for it. You do, but you don't. And various other things like that. We've got more stuff coming in the next few weeks, but we do have a Patreon. So if you are a regular listener, then you'll find the links to our Patreon on our website, or head over to Patreon and find The Geek Show. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or email us, studio@thegeekshow.co.uk. And that's about it. Until next time, I have been Rob.
I've been Mark.
And I've been Tucky.
We'll see you all later.
Goodbye. Ah, oh, my feet are cold now. If only I had some tank socks or tank slippers.
We need tank slippers.
We all need tank slippers.